Okay. So, again, the microphones are open. Nobody is muted. So if there's any noise, we can hear you. But also, if you have any questions about macrobiotics or these conference calls, please feel free to ask. My name, again, is Fia Kushi. I am the son of Michio and Alvelin Kushi, who helped introduce macrobiotics to this country and to the world. They've written many books, and I myself have been involved in macrobiotics in working in stores, restaurants, and educational organizations, and I teach and counsel on macrobiotics. So feel free to ask me any questions you like. This is an open call. Go ahead. So Daniel, did that help answer your question? Was there anything
yes.
else?
Oh, definitely. Thank you so much. It was amazing. Yeah, thank you.
Yes.
Really good explanation. Now I have a much better idea.
Yeah, so macrobiotics really, and the idea, macro means large. Biotics is life. The word itself is a Greek word. People attribute it to Hippocrates, the father of medicine. But the large view of life, that's the idea. The idea is to be taken the total, whole view of life. That understanding the whole view, we can really understand what we need to do and how to live. So, and macrobiotics, this idea is not Japanese, even though my father came from Japan and his teacher introduced it to him. The person who actually really used the word to mean macrobiotics, he used it as a therapeutical term, was a German physician named Christoph Wilhelm Hufeland, who lived in the 18th century. He was a renowned German physician to the King of Prussia, to the philosopher and poet Goethe, and to many other renowned intellectual people of his time. And he wrote a book in the 1780, around that time, called Macrobiotics, The Art of Prolonging Life. And he is the first person to really use that term, macrobiotics, as a therapeutic healing approach to life. And he clearly defines macrobiotics as separate from the medical approach to health. He explains it this way. He says, whereas the medical science views sickness as an evil that we have to get rid of, and it's a symptomatic approach, that sickness is an evil. We have to get rid of it as quickly as possible in whatever way we can. On the other hand, macrobiotics views sickness as often as a means to prolong life. In other words, by getting sick, your body is trying to adjust itself and rebalance itself to its natural environment. So, you know, you by eating too much or abusing yourself or some other reason, you got sick, and the body is trying to protect itself and readjust itself, and that's what we call sickness. So sickness is actually a friend. You know, if you didn't get sick and you did abuse yourself, then you would actually be dead. But the sickness is saving you and keeping you alive. Now, if you keep on abusing yourself in the same way, that sickness is going to stay there, and it's going to eventually kill you because you're the one that's killing you. It's actually not the sickness. It's you who is abusing it and making it happen. I don't know if you saw the movie Super Size Me, where Morgan Spurlock went on a month of eating McDonald's foods. You know, by the end of the month, he was nearly dead.
Yeah.
If he kept on eating that way, he would have died, certainly. But he changed. It doesn't say, you don't know what happened afterwards, but he actually has this girlfriend who cooked him macrobiotically to get him better. That's not in the movie.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm. Uh-huh.
Fia, maybe it would be useful to talk about what changes people can expect when they start eating macrobiotically. What what, you know, the
food
the
that, you know, especially the standard American diet, like Coca-Cola, sugar, high-fat foods, all of these foods are actually very addictive. So when people get off of them and switch to eating grains and vegetables and so forth, they actually go through withdrawal periods, they go through discharges, they go through all kinds of things, physical changes that happen to them. Depends on the person. Some people it happens quickly, some people it happens slowly. It really depends on each individual and what they're eating. By the end of 4 months, definitely, if you stick with it in 4 months, you'll definitely notice a huge physical change. Some of it could be unpleasant, you know, a lot of like you get runny nose, you get a lot of sinus congestion because all this stuff is coming out of you. A lot of people, if they're heavy, they lose weight. In fact, next week we have a guest who had weight issues. She was 268 pounds, and she in the first 4 months she lost 52 pounds.
I also did. The first 5 months I became macrobiotic, I lost 50 pounds.
Yeah.
In fact, the first 10 days up at the Cushy Institute, I lost 12 pounds eating a lot of the wonderful food.
Yes, right. So there's a lot of that happens, and really that continues on depending on, again, you know, how what you've been eating before and what your condition is. That could go on for 2 years. And some people, like one of our call guests, her name was Sanai Suzuki. She had ovarian cancer, and she only used macrobiotics. She did have blood tests every month to check her cancer levels. And she was improving, and she felt great. She lost weight. Her energy levels picked up. But during that whole period of time, her cancer levels didn't go down. It wasn't until over 2 years that her cancer levels started to drop, even though she felt great. She lost and looked great, and people thought she was fabulous. You know, her blood test didn't improve until 2 years later, and then finally her cancer went away. So it can take time for the actual disease or issue to go away, but you could feel great, you know, in a matter of months. You could feel great, and many people do, and some people think, oh, I feel great, especially if some people just use this as a medical approach, like use food as eating as medicine, and then they say, okay, I'm going to eat this now, and then when it goes away, I can go back to my regular way of eating. Well, unfortunately, you know, people who go back to their regular way of eating, their cancer comes back, and it comes back even more aggressively because now your body is more, it's still in there, but your body is a lot cleaner and more vulnerable, and it comes back a lot faster. So that's something to be very careful about. So to me, every time I give a lecture to beginning people, I tell people, you know, this, your life is going to change. It's like the Matrix, you know. You can take the red pill or the blue pill. Your life is forever. I'm going to alter your life forever from this moment on. Either you can leave now and forever remain ignorant and enjoy life, or you can find out and see how far the rabbit hole goes down, and you'll never be able to go back. So that's, but what you gain in that is what I have and what I have been experiencing all my life, which is the freedom and mastery of my health. I know I don't eat meat, I don't eat dairy, I don't eat sugar. I eat some fish sometimes, whenever I feel like. This is all my life. I've never had a glass of milk all my life. I've never had a bite of red meat, never had a hamburger all my life, and I'm 50 years old. It's not that I don't want to. It's not that I'm trying to restrict myself let me put it that way. Not that I feel deprived, because, well, number one, I've never had it. Number two is it doesn't appeal to me. And it's not, I'm not, not a religious reason, not anything, any, it's not even a scientific reason. It's just that it doesn't appeal to me. Maybe I might in the future have a bite of hamburger or go try McDonald's. That's my, I might try it, who knows. But it doesn't interest me. But now also, I've never had any medications whatsoever. Never taken any pills. Never, maybe once had aspirin. I do go to the dentist, but that's it. Never been hospitalized. I have a lot of doctor friends, but they're friends. They're personal friends. They're not my doctor. Now it doesn't. That's not everybody. I mean, I can. You know, my sister, she was ill and she actually passed away. So it's not. It's really individual and personal. You have to manage your life yourself, and take care of it yourself. You're given this life, and it's up to you to take care of it. So and you can do it. And I don't do it out of fear. I'm not afraid of foods. That's the other thing. I'm not afraid of foods because I know how to fix myself. I'm not afraid. And if I don't, I'm also, that's okay. I'm happy to, if I had a car accident tomorrow, I'd be happy to go to the hospital and get treated by doctors. That's no question about it. There's a time and a place to use conventional medicine, and certainly in emergencies and critical care and critical situations, which if you begin to think about it, that's how medicine, conventional medicine began. It began in situations of crisis, of war on the battlefield, you know, when you needed to cut off legs and arms and things like that to save people's lives. That's where modern medicine began. But Macro, in Hippocrates' day, he actually used diet to heal people. The original Hippocratic Oath, it states that, you know, do no harm. I will not use a knife or a drug to prescribe people. That's in the Hippocratic Oath, which was actually changed. In the original Hippocratic Oath, it says I will not use a knife or use a drug, and that was changed later by the College of Physicians. And he used dietary means to heal people. So Hippocrates was a practicing macrobiotic physician, as was many other physicians in ancient times, and the Indian doctor or the Indian text, the Karaka Samhita, is all about utilizing food and foods and herbs and other things in terms of healing. And in ancient China, they used food and then used acupuncture and other things as a supplement. But food was always a base, dietary remedies, food and home-based remedies, which is what I use. In other words, I do get sick, but how I treat myself is I use food-based remedies. The first thing I do is either I rest, I fast, I don't eat, I rest, take plenty of, and I eat like simple soft grain porridge, or if it's something a little more acute, then I will make a home remedy for myself. But that's it. Any other questions?
Yeah, I have one.
Sure.
You mentioned a book, about Indian book about medicine and herbs. What can you tell us the name again?
That's the Karaka Samhita. It's an ancient Ayurvedic text. There's the father of Western medicine, Hippocrates. This text is like the father of Ayurvedic medicine. So it has a similar, it's very old ancient text. It's more, you can look it up. Karaka, it's spelled differently in different ways, but the way I have it, it's Caraka, that's the first word, and Samhita, Samhita.
Perfect. Thank you so much. And the other question I have is, you have these conference calls twice a week on Sundays and Monday. Am I right?
That's correct. Yes.
Okay. So, and to get information, I subscribe to your emails.
Yeah, you go to the website, fiakushi.com.
Yeah.
All the guests are there, all previous guests. If you can listen as these calls are recorded, I then the next day post up the recording on the website. So you can hear the stories of all of the previous guests on the website, and you can see who else is going to be showing up next week.
Okay.
And let me, in fact, just mention briefly who is coming up next week. Next Sunday afternoon, so there's Sunday afternoon, 3 to 4 p.m., and Monday evening, 9 to 10 p.m. Next Sunday, June 27th, our guest will be Christina Campion. She suffered all her life with anorexia and bulimia. She knew she was in trouble when, at 30 years old and at 5'7", she only weighed 75 pounds. So she was in serious health. But with the help of macrobiotics, she went to see the counselor in Philadelphia, Denny Waxman. She recovered completely with macrobiotics. She'll be on the call Sunday to share her story. A week from today will be, as I mentioned, a woman named Bridget Kosser, who had very serious weight issues. She weighed 268 pounds, and her doctor was suggesting that she have gastric bypass surgery, and that really shocked her. And so she went to look for other solutions and found macrobiotics. And as I mentioned, she lost 90 pounds in a year's time, and 50 of that in 4 months' time. So, and she's now doing well and fabulous and off medications and shares her story and helps many people herself. So that's next Monday. Okay? So, any other questions? Yes?
And so do you think that Melody Gardot will be on the call in the future? Or?
I certainly hope so. I'm hoping that she... it was hard to get her. I mean, it was kind of a fluke that I was able to schedule her, because I know I'm on Facebook, and she sometimes goes on Facebook, and I saw her that she posted something, and I immediately asked her if she would be on the call. I had asked her before, but she was too busy before. Then she saw my posting and my request, and she said yes, but maybe she didn't have her calendar with her at the time, so I don't know. You know, who knows?
Mm-hmm.
She's an extremely busy person, as you know. She's performed all over the world. She's in high demand, travels all over, so she's a great, great musician, wonderful. So I certainly hope she will be on, and if you check the website, also I'm on Facebook, and I post all of these notices on Facebook. You can friend me on Facebook. That's Pia, P-H-I-Y-A. On Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Any other questions from anybody about macrobiotics, or anybody want to share anything about what they're going on, what's going on with them? Or?
I actually have a brief question. This is Maria speaking.
Yes, please.
I can't hear you.
Okay.
How do you keep yourself in balance if you do travel a lot? Like, for example, if you live in New York about 6 months out of the year, and then if you live in Costa Rica, 6 months out of the year. How do you keep yourself in balance?
Oh, well, naturally you just eat whatever is locally prepared in each place. So in Costa Rica, I imagine you go down there during the winter.
Mm-hmm.
Then you would eat more what is naturally or traditionally prepared in Costa Rica. And then you would eat back up here in the summer, you'd eat more foods that are conducive to a New York lifestyle. And there are plenty of wonderful macrobiotic restaurants in New York City. So that's a great resource. And Costa Rica, I'm sure they have wonderful fresh foods down there. So
they do.
So it's not easy. I mean, it's easy. It should be very easy for you to do that. Now, of course, when you make the transition, you might have, like, when you come back from Costa Rica, you might get a flu or something like that, which is really your body discharging what you've been eating down there and readjusting itself to your New York life. Similarly, when you go down there in that transition period, your body might go through some changes, and you might have a flu also, or a fever or something, or some kind of change. But over time, your body will adjust as long as you eat foods that are healthy, and you know, not eating junk food and not eating too much animal foods and eating more plant foods and grains and so on, then your body will naturally adjust.
That actually happens to my parents all the time.
Oh, okay. Yes. So that you could tell them that's what's happening. Their body is adjusting to their environment. And if they eat well, then those adjustments will be minimized or even might go away.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Yep. Anyone else have a question?
Yeah, I was always I was wondering about that. How to handle a situation when I do travel, and I actually don't really get sick, thank goodness. I see my parents getting sick when they come visit. And they come to New York, and then they go back to Costa Rica. They get sick every time.
Right.
But my husband and I actually carry our own food.
Yeah.
Because we can't find the grains that we're used to, like quinoa and millet. We've been actually carrying the grains with us in our suitcase.
Oh yeah. That's great. Well, that's the way to do it. I mean, because nowadays, as I mentioned, with the industrialization of food and high-speed transport and things like that, sometimes you can't find what is traditionally grown in especially in touristy areas, you know, you can't find that because it's just taken over by the industry. So then you have to do the reverse. You have to bring foods that are traditional to those areas. The world has really become upside down in that sense. So what you're doing is right. It's perfect. So it's perfect. And so naturally you don't get sick when you travel, whereas your parents do, because they're not. They're just eating the industrialized food, I guess, I'm guessing.
Yeah, they do. They actually shop at like a Costco in Costa Rica. They have like a type of Costco, and they refuse. And it's in shock. They still do that because
you
have so many fresh food and vegetables everywhere.
So you can challenge them. You can say, okay, hey, try this out. You know, try this out for next time you travel. And see if you get sick.
Mm-hmm.
Challenge them and test them out.
I actually have another question. I'm curious. I have an 18-month-old. Is there any teas I can give her at this time, or is she still very young? Because she sees me drinking a lot of tea.
Oh, okay. Well, you can serve her bancha tea, kukicha tea, twig tea. It's a non-caffeinated tea, very mild, and you can make it even milder, like more watery, less strong. That is a very good tea. I have 5 children myself, and I raise them all macrobiotically. In fact, my oldest son never ate any meat, including a fish. He's completely vegan. He's now very healthy. He's been healthy all his life. But you can definitely feed them simple non-stimulant teas. Bancha tea is fine. I would stay away from green tea because that has caffeine in it. But tea and water and diluted fruit juice, carrot juice, a little bit. If you're beginning to feed solid foods, you know, vegetable, like if you cook some vegetables, then the broth from the vegetables, that can be served to them.
And she's already eating miso soup. She likes that very much.
Okay, I would keep the miso to a very, very mild, not salty at all. Babies are themselves very, what we call contracted. They're very young. Salt is a contracting mineral, So if you feed babies too salty, then it's too strong for them. So keep it light and mild, because babies need to grow, they need to expand, they're expanding, and what helps them is eating more expanding foods, which would be more lighter, less mineral, more lighter cooking, and so forth.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Expanding foods. Okay. Terrific. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Any other questions?
Hi, it's me again. Can I ask a question? Another question?
Please. Uh-huh.
Do you know if Melody Gardot, if she, you mentioned that you guys don't eat much fat? Am I right?
I don't eat much animal fat. I eat oil. I certainly have sautéed foods and use oil in my cooking. But I don't eat animal fat. I don't eat dairy foods.
Mm-hmm. But you don't use fish oils also? No.
No, I don't. I eat fish instead. I prefer to eat the fish, which is oily.
Yeah. Okay, because I was wondering if she helped her brain without any fat. You know, that was.
Well, I mean, we get plenty of fat in our diet, anyways. I mean, we get through beans, through nuts, through seeds, and then through cooking, oil. You know, using oil in our cooking. There's plenty of fat in vegetable fat, and then. Supplementing with fish sometimes is fine. I prefer to eat the fish instead of any like fish oil supplement. And that's another principle behind macrobiotic eating, is to eat the whole food, not a processed food. Because again, the more you process something and extract it and refine it, the further away it is from its natural state, the further away it is from nature. And really, the ideal way of eating is to eat the whole food in its entirety. So seeds themselves are whole. Grains themselves are the seed. And so eating a whole grain is a whole in itself. Instead of eating white rice, eat brown rice, because white rice, you're already refining it.
Yeah.
And so that's why, you know, things like sugar, which is highly refined, and other refined foods, more industrialized foods, are not really recommended, because it's taking us away from what is natural, from the natural environment that is encapsulated in the whole food. So eating fish oil, when you refine things and process things, it concentrates it further. So eating sugar is very concentrated. So likewise, eating fish oil is concentrated. You're also not getting the other parts of the fish with it. So you're not. It's a little bit strong. So I would recommend. I mean, unless you know they need it temporarily for a quick thing. Like if you need, you know, if you happen to be low on something because you've been eating extreme in one way or the other. And you need some quick burst or something of supplementation, then by all means, go ahead. I'm not entirely against supplementation, but I'm saying as a day-to-day thing, it's better to go with the food itself than the supplement.
And do you mind me asking you what kind of vegetable oils do you use?
I use sesame oil, safflower oil, and sunflower seed oil. Canola oil, I heard, is not very good, but I don't know exactly why, but there's something about the plant itself that has toxins.
Olive oil?
Olive oil, oh yes, olive oil too, yes, but not as much, but olive oil, yes.
What about grapeseed oil?
Rapeseed oil? You mean canola oil?
No, grapeseed.
Oh, grapeseed. Grapeseed, not so much. But just in general cooking, just sesame and safflower, because That's what I use.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Of course, if you're going to do like Mediterranean dishes, then olive oil is a must, especially Italian style cooking or whatever, or Greek cooking.
Yeah.
What about coconut oil?
Coconut oil, a little bit. Again, the coconut oil, coconuts tend to be a little higher in saturation, coconut. More harder at room temperature. That's how you tell if something's saturated. So it's a little more, in our bodies, can be a little more dense or collecting or stagnating. So coconut, yes, sometimes, but again, also it's a tropical plant too. So you don't want to, if you're living out in the northern areas, then, reduce the tropical influences.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
What's your routine when you get up every morning?
Actually, I've been doing an experiment myself. I've been practicing eating less. I've been eating, like in the past several months, I've been eating about one meal a day. I don't eat breakfast. My work is not very physical. It's a lot of desk work and on the phone and. So, I'm sure if I were doing gardening or some other, physical work outside, I would be eating more and hungry more. But because of the way I've been working, I've also been experimenting just eating less and seeing the effects and seeing how much I can enjoy without losing energy. Because the key is keeping your energy up. As long as your energy is good and strong, then you can get by with eating less. And getting by with eating less allows the body to function, allows the autonomic nervous system to function, to digest and take care of things. So I'm experimenting with that and seeing how that goes. Because I really think for most of us who don't live very active lives, I think we tend to overeat, and that can cause a variety of problems. So if we eat less and we keep ourselves a little bit hungry, I'm not suggesting that you eat one meal a day, but if you eat, skip a breakfast and just have something like a tea or something just to, and then have a light lunch and have dinner, but don't eat till you're 80% full, and don't eat before you go to bed, and try to minimize snacking in between. See how you go, and I think you'll feel a lot lighter after like even a week, and a lot more energy, and a lot more everything else will start flowing easier, digestion and all of that.
As part of your experiment, are you really making a point of chewing? I mean, how many times are you chewing when you're doing this to get the nutrition out of the food?
Yes, it's funny because I've never been a very good chewer, which is why I think I have had teeth problems. But I've never been a very good chewer. When I was little, I always tended to swallow my food and not chew. I enjoyed food. I enjoyed my mother's cooking very much. So I kind of developed that habit over the years. And I'm finding, though, that eating less, just by eating less, I'm chewing more instead of the other way around. I mean, I think if you chew more, you will also eat less. So, but to me, chewing, I'm a lazy person when it comes down to it. I like things done easily. Because to me, nothing should take an effort. So by eating less, it's less effort. And then naturally, you want to chew more when you eat less. It's interesting. But certainly, you can put in some extra effort, and you can chew more, and that will definitely help anybody, help with the digestion, help get the nutrients more, et cetera, et cetera. But I think eating less, too, is just as important.
So are you chewing your foods until they're liquid? I mean, since you're eating so little?
I am chewing much better. I'm not entirely totally liquid, but it is. I'm chewing much better. So, did that help? And I think definitely if I chewed more, which I might experiment after this call and after, I might chew more. But
we're very conditioned, you know, by eating restaurant food, well, eating out in different places of these huge, enormous portions. And we have really begun to think, friends of mine and I, when we do eat out, that some of the meals that they serve to one person could be shared by four people.
That's true, absolutely.
I mean, it's just astounding how much food is served. So
yes.
we either share lunches or we take glass containers with us and just take home things for the next 2 days.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. Yes, the size and proportions are just phenomenal. So, and I think that's contributing to the obesity problem and the overweight problem. So,
yeah. Can I ask you, have you noticed any difference since you start with this new system, you know, a few months ago? Like, you notice more energy or less or any difference?
Yes, I've noticed. I have the main thing that I notice is that I'm much more calm and peaceful. Whereas before, if I had some issues in my life that were stressful, it would be harder for me to take to deal with them. But now with this sort of emptiness, I am much more calm and peaceful and able to handle things much easier and much more positive about them. I don't react like emotionally to these things that are going on in my life, and I do have sometimes issues, you know, bills or financial issues or relationship issues that I have to deal with, like everybody. But I am able to handle them. They don't bother me. They don't stress me out as they used to if I were eating a lot and, you know, eating to my full and trying to live, you know, that way. So. That's the main thing that I discovered. It's really fascinating to me.
You mentioned the food part of your routine. I was just curious, especially since you were mentioning your sedentary lifestyle with the being on the computer. What else is traditional macrobiotic practice? Are you doing as part of your routine? I mean, anything physical? Any external things? Massage or acupuncture?
No, I haven't. As far as massage or other treatments, I haven't done anything like that in a long time. The last massage I had was like 3 years ago, 4 years ago, or something, and it was just for fun.
What about body scrub or doin or you know?
Yeah. Well, what I do is actually I go swimming. I like to go swimming.
Oh.
And I do have this kind of a scrubber thing that I use whenever I shower, so it really helps keep my skin clean and energizes it. So I do that whenever I shower. So that's and I do recommend that if you you do something to scrub your body every day and keep it clean and keep the circulation flowing, keep the lymphatic system flowing. Because it's all very important to discharge and keep the whole energy moving in your body. And yes, do some kind of activity if you have a sedentary lifestyle like I do. So I go swimming, and I like to swim. And so that's what I do.
My husband's a swimmer, but then I also, you know, encourage him to do some pounding things because you don't, as I understand, you know, build your bones, and there are certain things that swimming is, it's wonderful, but it doesn't do everything you need for your body.
I understand, that you need some kind of impact exercise. Well, there's certainly walking around and doing cooking itself. Yeah, you're on your feet all the time if you cook, you know.
Right.
So those things, just going about daily life, you know, just cleaning the house itself is you know, is good exercise. I just noticed it's a little bit past 10, so the call, you're welcome to leave the call if you like. I'll just take another question. But before we do, just want to remind people that next week we do have Sunday is a woman who suffered from anorexia and bulimia all her life and has completely healed that through macromatics. Next Monday, a week from tonight, is a woman who had weight problems, and she weighed 268 and lost 50 pounds in 4 months following macrobiotics, and then 90 pounds after a year. She helps people now with her with weight issues and other health issues. That's coming up these next two Sunday and Monday. And for more information, go to www.phiyakushi.com, phiyakushi.com. Okay, so what was the last question you had? Anyone? Hello?
I don't have a question.
I just want to thank you very much for everything.
Thank you very much.
Yes, so we'll hope that Melody shows up later in another call sometime. And stay tuned to the website, and we'll keep people informed. You can sign up. There's an email sign up on the website, so you can receive notices whenever I post something or a new guest. You can receive your email notices.
Yeah, I subscribe myself already.
Great. Also want to mention that these calls are the effort of myself solely. I am not affiliated with any organization, any company, any person, and nobody else. It's just me who's doing these calls. I don't solicit advertising. So the only way that these calls are funded are through me or through donations that I receive from people, from callers. So please, if you can, donate. The donations are not tax deductible because, again, I'm not an organization. I'm just doing these for the benefit of the public. And because I happen to know so many people in my life who've recovered from a variety of issues, and I thought, well, let's get them all together on one place on the website, and get them live on conference calls so that people can ask questions and help. So that's what these calls are about. So if you can, feel free to donate, and you donate by going to my website and clicking on the link, donate. So thank you again, everybody, for calling in. Again, I apologize that our guest did not show up, but given how famous she is and what a wonderful musician she is, I think it's understandable that she might have conflicted schedules. But thank you again, and hope to see you at our next call. So thanks again.
Good night. Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good night, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hyena.